coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. What do we have today? Well, first we'll talk about Skip's brain, what's going on in my life, in my brain, and then we'll talk about what's in the news. We'll talk some about this latest Kentucky school shooter. And then in segment two, we're going to be interviewing a fictional character. That's right, folks. Just because someone's fictional doesn't mean they're not real. We will be interviewing the commanding general of none other than the Shadow Militia. And you're thinking, what are you talking about? Who is the Shadow Militia? Well, the Shadow Militia, if you haven't read The God Virus, The Shadow Militia, or The Saracen Tide by yours truly, Skip Coriel, then head on out to Amazon.com and check out those novels. Basically, they're post-apocalyptic adventures after a grid-down occurrence. Basically, all the electricity goes off in the entire United States of America, and the chaos and anarchy and violence that ensues. That's what the Shadow Militia is all about. And then in segment four, of course, we will have our regular wrap-up, and I'll tell you what I really think, and I'll try not to be shy. So, inside my brain, what's going on? Well, the weather is getting better, folks. The weather is getting warmer, and then it's getting colder, and then it's getting warmer, and then it's getting colder. And you know what? It is driving me out of my mind. Either stay warm or cold. Don't do both. Don't go back and forth. It's like you're teasing me. You just tease me with 40 degrees, and then you come back the next day with 15. What is up with that? God in heaven, what are you doing? Please don't do this to me. Global warming, global cooling, global warming, global cooling. I can't take it anymore. Just give me something constant. Other than that, I'm fine. Except for the aching in my head, the vertigo, the nausea. That's right. I have fallen victim. One of the many tens of thousands of Americans who have fallen victim to the flu virus. I don't know what alphanumeric designator it is of the flu, but I've got one of them, and I can tell you, it's not fun. It came on me while I was in church on Sunday. I thought I was going to puke all over everybody, but I made it out on time, and just terrible vertigo. My head is spinning. I have body aches, headaches, nausea. I can't wait for the diarrhea. I just can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. All joking aside, I knew it was going to hit me eventually. You know, I'm taking zinc, magnesium, calcium, vitamin C. Oh, gosh. But you know what? In the end, the virus always wins. They just keep coming. They never give up. They're relentless. In the end, the virus will get us all. Okay, enough happiness. Let's go to the news. All right, what do we got? We got an article here. Looks like it's from CNN. We had, oh my gosh, another school shooting. You know, is there a mass shooter every single day in this country? Do we have that many crazy people? We just can't run out. It's sad. CNN.com, Kentucky school shooting, 2 students killed, 18 injured. Another high school has turned into a scene of carnage, this time in western Kentucky. 16 people were wounded, 2 of them fatally, after a shooter opened fire Tuesday morning at Marshall County High School, authorities said. 4 others sustained various injuries. A 15-year-old male student was arrested at the scene, Governor Matt Bevin said. On Wednesday, he was charged with 2 counts of murder and 12 counts of first-degree assault. After the boy has a probable cause hearing and a detention hearing in the next 2 days, prosecutors will start the process of charging him as an adult, Darnell said. A grand jury will meet on February 13, and the charges could change. Wow. Victims were identified as Bailey Holt and Preston Cope, both 15. Bailey died at the high school, and Preston died at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville. Our hearts go out to the parents. I can't imagine that. It's terrible. It's just really, really bad. But, hey, it's going to happen. It's going to keep happening. That's going to be the subject of my review and comment on the news in segment 4. So I'll tell you what I really think about this in segment 4. But, folks, let me give you a few facts, a little bit of background. I'm opening up the book Countering the Mass Shooter Threat, written by Michael Martin from United States Concealed Carry Association. This is the new curriculum that I'll be teaching to churches, businesses, schools, whoever wants it. I just met with a church last night to talk about this, and I have another meeting next week. I met a week before that as well, so I'm meeting with a church every single week on countering mass shooter threats. So I guess that's good that people are waking up and that they're willing to take responsibility for their own personal protection and the protection of their congregations. So that's good. What have we learned about mass shooters? Oh, here's an interesting quote here. The federal government defines an active shooter as an individual actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a confined and populated area. That makes sense. The primary motive in these incidents appears to be mass murder. That is, the shooting is not a byproduct of an attempt to commit another crime. All right, so that's the definition of a mass killer. Historically, one of the central motivations in these cases, although not the only one, is a desire for notoriety and a desire for infamy. And now we have a setting, a cultural and social setting, where your act of multiple homicide will be known about internationally within moments. So there's a twisted incentive that didn't exist a generation ago. Did you know that there were 74 Columbine copycats? Columbine, of course, was in 1999, I believe, April 20th, 21st, something like that. 53 of the plots or threats were thwarted by law enforcement before they could ensue. 21 of the attacks were not. And out of those, 89 dead resulted and 126 wounded. 14 of those copycat attacks were planned to fall on the anniversary of the Columbine shooting. 12 were thwarted, while 2 were successfully carried out on different dates. 13 of the plotters indicated that their goal was to outdo the body count of Columbine shooters, Eric Numbnuts and Dylan Butthead. Sorry, I'm not going to say their names. Here's an interesting quote by Malcolm Gladwell from The New Yorker. The problem is not that there is an endless supply of deeply disturbed young men who are willing to contemplate horrific acts. It's worse. It's that young men no longer need to be deeply disturbed to contemplate horrific acts. Now, is that a mouthful or what? What does that mean? You know, I've always thought, hey, these people are crazy. These people are crazy as loons. But the problem is our young people aren't seeing these acts as crazy. They're seeing them as normal. That is not a good thing. That does not bode well for America at all. This just makes me happy that I homeschool my kids. At least when they're here, I can protect them from stuff like this. The last thing you want to do at the Coryell Academy, the Coryell Homeschool Academy, is come in with a gun. That would be the last decision you ever made. But again, it's horrific. All right, here's a snapshot. Active shooter events have occurred in the U.S. since Columbine. 165 active shooter events have occurred in the U.S. since Columbine. And this, I think, is a year old. So there's more. 48 of those active shooter events met the FBI's definition of a mass shooting. That means four or more fatalities. 448 people were killed at mass shootings, not including the shooter. And 369 people were wounded at mass shootings. That's since Columbine. Folks, that's a lot of people. Here's the breakdown on where they occur. 46% occur at businesses. That's the highest number. That's the highest percentage. Almost half occur in your place of business. So, hey, be careful how you treat your employees and your fellow coworkers, because, hey, they might come in a few days from now with a gun and start shooting people. The problem is most of your places of work, the employer will not let you carry a gun or a knife or a weapon or anything. You're helpless. 3% occur in healthcare facilities, 4% in houses of worship. See, I thought it was more than that. I thought there were more church shootings, but 4%. 4% in residences where people live, 10% on government properties, 24% on educational places like colleges, schools, things like that, and then 9% in the outdoors. And this is interesting too. In 40% of these events, the shooter committed suicide. 23% they were shot by the police. 7% of the time they were subdued by police. 4% they surrendered to the police. That's a pretty low number. 8% of the time the attacker just left on his own. But here's a good number. 14% of the time the attacker was subdued by the intended victim. So the victims rose up and took the bad guy down. I'd like to see that number 100% of the time right there. And that's what this class, Countering the Mass Shooter Threat, is all about. We want to raise that number from 14% to 100%. Get it as close as we possibly can. Oh, and don't forget this. 4% of the time they were shot by the intended victim. So that's really 18% of the time the victims stopped the bad guy. Wouldn't it have been great if that could have happened on 9/11, if America had that mentality, that warrior mindset, so that when those two planes that crash into the Twin Towers, those bad guys, Islamic terrorists, took out those box cutters, and we just kicked their butts? That's what should have happened. But hey, pre-9/11 was a whole different world than we have right now. Folks, I will talk more about this in segment 4 when I give you my wrap up. Now, coming into segment 2, I've got a special treat for you. This is really, really different. I've never done anything like this before, and I need your input. If you guys like what I do in segment 2, I need you to give me some input. Send me an email, text message, phone call, whatever. SkipCoriel@hotmail.com. And just tell me, hey, I liked it, I didn't like it. I think you're going to like it. I had a lot of fun doing it. I mean, it's not easy to interview a fictional character. It's just not. Especially one that you created yourself. But we had a good time with it. And I think you might even laugh. So we will see what happens. Okay, folks, when we come back, we will be interviewing General Rodney T. Branch, the commanding general of the Shadow Militia. Okay, folks, while we're gone, you got 2 minutes. Check out our sponsors, Firearms Legal Protection. Go to firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. Check that out. And then go to elitefirearms.us. Check out Larry Jackson and all the great services that he offers to you and your family. This is Skip Coriel and the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
We now take you to the headquarters of General Rodney T. Branch, commanding general of the Shadow Militia, as he addresses his troops on the eve of a momentous and fierce battle.
Good evening, men. I thank you for joining me tonight. Together, we've gone into battle against astronomical odds. We've defeated the vicious, cutthroat gangs from the south. We've decimated the Saracen tide from the east. But now, just when we thought we could rest, we are faced with our most evil and villainous enemy. That's right, men. Tomorrow morning at dawn, we launch an all-out frontal attack on Punxsutawney Phil. Now, in order to...
Excuse me, General.
What is it, soldier?
Sir, I don't mean to question you, but isn't Punxsutawney Phil a groundhog?
Of course he's a groundhog, but he's the most evil and cunning rodent ever to walk the earth. I have a full psychological profile on him right here. I've studied him inside and out, and I know his every move.
But, sir, that's not my point. Why are we trying to kill a groundhog?
Colonel McPherson, who is this man?
That's Private Branch, sir.
Private Branch? Why does he have my last name?
Because he's your grandson, sir.
Oh, I see. Why wasn't I briefed on that? Never mind. Just put some duct tape over his mouth. Okay, now to answer the private's question. Our spring offensive is set to launch on March 15th. During that time, we need unseasonably warm weather with which to drive the blind man's army back and defeat him once and for all.
Sir, that doesn't answer my question.
Colonel, if that man says another word, I want him waterboarded.
Grandpa, you can't waterboard me. I'm only 11 years old.
Don't be so sure of that, Private. I've done worse. Why, I remember a time back in 67 on the Mekong that we...
General Branch, this is a family show. You can't tell that story.
Oh, yeah. It was a hell of a story, though. Oh, back in those days, we could do so much more. But anyways, okay, back to the plan. Son, because you're my grandson, I'm going to cut you a little slack. I'm not even going to torture and kill you. According to our meteorological experts, this guy Phil pops his head up out of his bunker every February 2nd, and if he sees his shadow, then 6 more weeks of winter ensues. And that, gentlemen, is totally unacceptable to my plan. Therefore, we now launch Operation Early Spring. And when that little furball pops his little head out, we blow it clean off.
But Grandpa, you can't do that. He's just a defenseless little animal.
The hell I can't, Private. I will exterminate that hog with extreme prejudice and then eat his liver for breakfast.
No, Grandpa, no!
Colonel, throw that man in the brig. I want him court-martialed for insubordination.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. No groundhogs were harmed during the recording of this show.
No groundhogs were harmed? What is he talking about? Colonel, what's he talking about? Of course they were harmed. I want that groundhog's head. I want him gutted, dried, and jerked out by morning. Make it spicy. I like my jerky hot and spicy. And drag the announcer out back and put him in front of a firing squad. I don't like him. I don't like him at all.
Okay, folks. This is Skip Coriel again. You may notice a bit of a similarity between myself and General Branch. Well, because he's a part of me. I created him. He is the main character in the God Virus Apocalyptic Adventure series. Now, there's a few thousand of you out there who know exactly what I'm talking about because you've read all three of the books, and you're mad at me because I haven't written the fourth and final book, The Blind Man's Rage. I'm working on it. I'll get it done. I got a lot of things to do. But for the benefit of those who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to let you know because I have a feeling we're going to hear from General Rodney T. Branch again. So I'm reading from The Saracen Tide. That's book 3 in the God Virus series. What Has Gone Before? In book 1 of this series, The God Virus, a cyber terrorist attack takes out the American power grid, leaving the entire country in darkness, death, and widespread chaos. Oh, I like that. Dan Branch and his son Jeremy have to sojourn through northern Wisconsin to the Michigan Lower Peninsula to the safety of his Uncle Rodney's home. Uncle Rodney, an eccentric hardcore prepper and Vietnam vet, tries to rescue Dan but fails. It takes Dan and his son 6 months to reach the safety of the northern Lower Peninsula. On the way, Dan is forced to kill many men. He also rescues Jackie, a damsel in distress, and marries her. When they finally reach Iroquois City, Uncle Rodney reveals he is the commanding general of the Shadow Militia, and a mob of over 1,000 cutthroats and thieves will be attacking within the week. In Book 2, The Shadow Militia, Dan Branch, Uncle Rodney, and Sheriff Leif, you may recognize that, that's Leif, L-E-I-F, all similarities to persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Lead the citizens of Iroquois County into battle against thousands of vicious and deadly gang members hell-bent on destroying anyone who resists their quest for power. Through sheer tenacity and great sacrifice, the army of cutthroats is stopped, but not before they destroy much of Iroquois City. Hundreds of townspeople are killed or wounded. The patriots of Iroquois County have earned a rest, but repose is not in the cards, because a new, larger, and deadlier threat is on the way. Will the Shadow Militia and the people of Iroquois be able to defeat this newest threat? The story begins where it left off. I am proud to give you The Saracen Tide. Oh, yeah. I read from the back of The Saracen Tide here. In Book 2, The Shadow Militia, Dan Branch, Uncle Rodney, and Sheriff Leif led the citizens of Iroquois County into battle against thousands of vicious and deadly gang members hell-bent on destroying anyone who resists their quest for power. Now in Book 3, the town is besieged with a greater and deadlier threat as an army of 30,000 jihadists make their way north through Michigan, killing anyone who will not convert to Islam. Will the Shadow Militia and the people of Iroquois be able to defeat this newest threat? The story begins where it left off. I am proud to give you The Saracen Tide. Oh, yeah. And now, right now, I'm writing The Blind Man's Rage, which I really hope is the final book in this series because I need to move on to something else. There's only so many tens of thousands of people you can kill before you get wore out. Okay, folks, that was enough shameless promotion. Let's move on. We were speaking about Groundhog's Day. Groundhog's Day is just an awesome day for me, and I'll tell you why. February 2nd. Groundhog's Day is the beginning of the end of winter. Winter's not gone. It's still strong. It's still there. It still comes back. Winter is a stubborn wench. She wants to stay. She wants to continue persecuting people, making us suffer, wants us to be cold. But spring is on the way, and Groundhog's Day is the day when it might just happen. But first, we have to keep that groundhog from poking his furry little head up out of that hole. And that's where General Rodney comes in with Operation Early Spring. My son, Cedar, he played the part of Private Branch. And he could hardly keep from laughing through the whole thing. So, you know, if my 11-year-old son laughs, I know it's funny. Otherwise, who knows, because I'm crazy as a loon. But before we can defeat the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, we need to find out a little bit about the groundhog.
What is up with groundhogs? What exactly are groundhogs all about? I'm getting this from wildlife-removal.com. Groundhogs are rodents that belong to the largest group of mammals known as Rodentia. It is interesting to note, I think most politicians belong to that group too, but I'm not sure. It is interesting to note that they are the largest members of the squirrel family and are also known as woodchucks. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? I really don't know that either. One of their favorite acts is digging holes. Now that I know. They're all over the side of my hill, and they must die. They are either completely black or white in color. Completely black or white? That's not right. There's a picture right here. They're more kind of brown. Groundhogs spend most of their time eating or sunning when they are not hibernating or caring for their young ones. They particularly like tomatoes and fruits. Yeah, they sure do. They wiped out my entire garden one year. But I got my revenge. General Rodney T. Branch style, I might add. Groundhogs are real experts in digging and can dig deep into the ground and thus gain access to the food they like. They cause a lot of damage around the around homes if they choose to dig under foundations and other vulnerable areas. We had one in our crawl space when we first moved in. He decided to leave. Since they take out the mud from the base of buildings, they can cause serious damage to the entire structure. Groundhog holes can be dangerous for some pets, as well as if they happen to step into a hole and break or injure a leg. I know farmers don't like them either, because they'll dig holes throughout their fields and, you know, they can drop their tractors down into them and combines and all that stuff, plows. They're just not fun. While dealing with groundhogs, woodchuck repellents, deterrents, mothballs, or sprinkling coyote urine around the yard can help to deter the varmints without using poison. What's wrong with poison? I don't like this website. Poison is so much more efficient. Regardless, hey, last time I got rid of them using gopher gas. All you got to do is you got to hold it. Before I tell you this, first we need to find out if it's legal. Hold on. I'm going to go over to mi.gov/DNR. Woodchucks. Small game overview. Woodchucks/groundhogs. Hey, statewide, no closed season. That means we can kill them any time of the year. Groundhogs may be taken year-round with a valid small game hunting license. I have a small game hunting license, and it's valid. Wow. Okay, back to our regular scheduled program. So I took out all of these groundhogs using gopher gas. It's kind of a sulfur-based gas. You find all of the holes, you cover up all but one, and then you throw down some gopher gas. You light it, it's like a bomb, and you throw it down in there, and it consumes all of the oxygen there and replaces it with sulfur gas, which woodchucks really don't like. And did you know that woodchucks, groundhogs, they're also hemophiliacs? Yep, they bleed. So you don't have to make a good shot at them. They will still go down. All right, that is about the woodchuck. They're legal. They're always in season. And I've heard when you get them young, they're a fine, tasty meal. So we'll talk about that more when we come back. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. We have got more on groundhogs coming up in this next segment. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer.
Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Sorry, what was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god. I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck?
You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
And there you have it, folks. That's the plot line to the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. And just for the record, he is not a god. But wonderful movie. My family and I, we watch that movie every single Groundhog's Day. In fact, in a few days, it'll be Groundhog Day again. And myself and Sarah and the three little ones, we're going to sit down, we're going to pop in that movie, and we are going to have pizza while we watch this movie. And it's just an awesome time with the family. We're building family memories. Now, the kids, they wanted groundhog pizza. You know, but I got to tell you, unless you plan ahead, groundhog is really tough to get this time of year. So I think we'll use venison, and we'll just have to pretend that it's groundhog. Unless Pizza Hut or Little Caesars has a special, I'll have to check on that. Go, yeah, is groundhog in season? Can I get groundhog today? In keeping with our Groundhog Day special, let's check out the movie Groundhog Day and find out, hey, what's that all about? Groundhog Day was released in 1993, an American fantasy comedy film directed by Harold Ramis. Remember Harold Ramis from Ghostbusters? Starring Bill Murray and Andie MacDowell. Andie MacDowell played she was a perfect woman for that part. She just seemed so, wholesome, I guess. Wholesome and honest and open. You know, she could be a total tramp in real life. I don't know. We'll assume that she's not, though. And, of course, Chris Elliott, the comedian. I don't believe he did a lot of acting before that, but he just played such a good part. It was written by Harold Ramis and Danny Rubin, based on the story by Danny Rubin. Murray plays Phil Connors, an arrogant Pittsburgh TV weatherman who, during an assignment covering the annual Groundhog Day event in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, finds himself caught in a time loop, repeating the same day again and again. After indulging in hedonism and committing suicide numerous times, he begins to re-examine his life and priorities. Now, think about it. If you had your choice of repeating the same day over and over and over again, which day would you choose? I'm not sure I have a good answer for that. I don't know if I've ever had a day that was so good I want to keep living it over and over and over. Now, I mean, there's a few, actually quite a few, that I wouldn't mind
living over again just the one time so I could do something different. You know, my first and second wives come to mind, but, you know, even then, when you look back on your life, right, this kind of a motif where you go back and change history or relive history, even if you took your worst day, you know, we'll take, you know, one of my ex-wives. I go back, I relive the day that I met them, and I make sure that I never meet them. What did I just do? Well, yeah, I saved myself a lot of pain, but I'm also out, you know, 2 children and 11 grandchildren. So do you really want to do that? I'm guessing no. Hey, your mistakes are your own. You own them. And they are what makes you who you are. On its release, Groundhog Day was a modest success and garnered generally positive reviews. It gained stronger appreciation among critics and film historians over time, and is now often listed among the best comedy films ever. Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah, it was just an awesome, awesome film. I like that one a lot. All right. A little bit of trivia. Did you know that Bill Murray was bitten by the groundhog during the filming? You know, in that car chase where he kidnaps Punxsutawney Phil and then he drives into the gravel pit and commits suicide with the groundhog. You know, that groundhog would only bite me just the one time. And I'd do a number on him. I don't like groundhogs. I'm sorry. Now let's go ahead and check something else out here. I was wondering about what exactly is the history of Groundhog's Day. And so I thought, well, hey, what better place to find out about history than history.com? So I went there, went to February 2, and you can find this on history.com/thisdayinhistory. Go to February 2nd, and you can see, you can read all about the first Groundhog Day here. Here's the history, folks. On this day in 1887, Groundhog Day, featuring a rodent meteorologist, is celebrated for the first time at Gobbler's Knob in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. So it started out at Gobbler's Knob. I wasn't sure that was a real place. According to tradition, if a groundhog comes out of its hole on this day and sees its shadow, there will be 6 more weeks of winter weather. No shadow means an early spring. And folks, that's why it's so very important that Phil dies. We have to kill him before he pokes out his head. And that's why I've called in the Shadow Militia. They have the resources. They have the know-how. They have the attitude. They can take out Punxsutawney Phil. All right, but I'm digressing. Groundhog Day has its roots in the ancient Christian tradition of Candlemas. You know, I've never seen groundhogs mentioned in the Bible. Maybe I missed that part. Of Candlemas Day, when clergy would bless and distribute candles needed for winter. The candles represented how long and cold the winter would be. Germans expanded on this concept by selecting an animal, the hedgehog, as a means of predicting weather. I guess they could have picked some other animal, but a hedgehog. I think that's like a European groundhog. Once they came to America, German settlers in Pennsylvania continued the tradition, although they switched from hedgehogs to groundhogs, which were plentiful in the Keystone State. Groundhogs, also called woodchucks, and whose scientific name is Marmota monax. Marmota monax, good alliteration. Typically weigh 12 to 15 pounds and live 6 to 8 years. They eat vegetables and fruit. They eat my garden is what they eat. They whistle when they're frightened or looking for a mate. Yeah, I guess we have something in common. I whistle when I'm looking for a mate, too. And can climb trees and swim. They go into hibernation in the late fall. During this time, their body temperatures drop significantly. Their heartbeats slow from 80 to 5 beats per minute, and they can lose 30% of their body fat.
Oh, gosh, if I could do that. 30% of my body fat would be fantastic. But I wouldn't survive the winter. Underground. In February, male groundhogs emerge from their burrows to look for a mate, not to predict the weather. You know, why is everything sexual? These groundhogs, it's all about sex for them. Disgusting. Before they go underground again, they come out of hibernation for good in March. In 1887, a newspaper editor belonging to a group of groundhog hunters from Punxsutawney called the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club declared that Phil, the Punxsutawney groundhog, was America's only true weather forecasting groundhog. The line of groundhogs that have since been known as Phil might be America's most famous groundhogs, but other towns across North America now have their own weather-predicting rodents. From Birmingham Bill to Staten Island Chuck to Shubenacadie Sam in Canada. Forget about Canada. In 1993, the movie Groundhog Day starring Bill Murray popularized the usage of Groundhog Day to mean something that is repeated over and over. Today, tens of thousands of people converge on Gobbler's Knob in Punxsutawney each February 2nd to witness Phil's prediction. The Punxsutawney Groundhog Club hosts a three-day celebration featuring entertainment and activities. And they do have a groundhog dinner, but I don't know if it's actually made out of groundhogs or not. I'd be real disappointed. If I paid $10 for a groundhog dinner and there was no groundhog, I'd want my money back. I would be very, very disappointed. Okay. Well, that is about all the time we have for this segment, but I think we've covered quite a bit of ground here. We know what a groundhog is, what he does. We know the history of Groundhog Day and the movie, and we know why Punxsutawney Phil has to die now. So now it's just a matter of implementing the plan. Okay, we got a two-minute break here. While we are gone, go ahead and check out our sponsors. Firearms Legal Protection. Go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and get your family protected and insured just in case you have to use that firearm as a tool of last resort. And then go to elitefirearms.us and see what Larry Jackson can do for your family. Pick out the right firearm the first time around instead of wasting $600. ElitefIrearms.us. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be speaking more groundhoggies, and we'll also, I'm going to give you my opinion on that recent Kentucky school shooting. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training.
Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Who else could go for some flapjacks right now?
Guys, a question.
Shoot.
What if there were no tomorrow?
No tomorrow. That would mean there would be no consequences. There would be no hangovers. We could do whatever we wanted. Ah!
That's true. We could do whatever we want.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is segment four, the final wrap-up. It's where I tell you what I really think. I get candid. I get downright in the muck and mire of what I think. That, of course, was an excerpt from Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. I just love that show. I'm going to do something here. I don't know. I haven't done this in a while on the show. I am going to crack the dew. I've been cutting back on my Mountain Dew. Some people say it's bad for you. I don't know. Maybe I should do some research on that, but today, I'm not feeling well. I need a little pick-me-up, so here we go. Oh, yeah, I can smell it already. Oh, yeah. Everything a growing boy needs. What exactly is in this stuff? Let me read it. Oh, if I can... Water! The first ingredient is water. I knew it was good for you. Water is very good for you. High fructose corn syrup. Not sure about that one. Some kind of sugar, I guess. Concentrated orange juice. Now, there you go. The third ingredient is orange juice. That's definitely good for you. Citric acid. Now... All right, that might not, I'm not sure about that one. But I'm going to keep an open mind. Natural flavors. Which flavors? Could be dirt for all I know. Sodium benzoate. Preserves for freshness. Caffeine. That explains the kick. Sodium something oate. Sodium citrate. You know... I can't really pronounce any of these other ones. I think I saw these in my chemistry lab when I was a kid, but I'm not... You know, maybe I ought to look into this a little bit more. These might... I'm not sure if Mountain Dew is good for me. I'll have to check this out. Hold on, let's do a quick web search here. You know, as a self-defense instructor, I always want to stay on the cutting edge. I want to... give you the information that you need to stay in shape, because staying in shape is important to protecting yourself and your family. What's this? I'm at davidwolf.com. That's Wolf with an E at the end. 8 reasons Mountain Dew is terrible for you and should never be drank again. That sounds biased. War, disease, hunger, poverty. While these things have plagued the world for hundreds of years, one thing is apparent: no one enjoys them. I agree. They are not addicting like the green sugary liquid that millions consume every single day. That's right. I'm talking about Mountain Dew. The original formula was invented in 1940 by Tennessee beverage bottlers Barney and Allie Hartman. Bill Bridgeforth revised that method in 1958, a year after I was born, and sold the rights to the Tip Corporation of Marion, Virginia. William H.B. Jones of the Tip Corporation further developed the formula, creating the version of Mountain Dew that we all know and love. You got that right. Pepsi-Cola Company purchased the rights to the Green Monster and began mass producing it in 1964. And boy, that's probably, I was, 7 years old? That's about when I started drinking it. This fuzzy drink is big in the South, especially in the Appalachian region, as shown below. And there's a map.
In the Appalachian Mountains, Mountain Dew has a cult-like following. It's no coincidence that Central Appalachia is number one in the nation in toothlessness. That could be just a coincidence, though. This epidemic is known as Mountain Dew Mouth. Oh, that's a terrible picture. Mountain Dew is killing people all around the world, but many of us are too blind to see. Don't believe it? Let's look at the stats. Acidic beyond belief. We learned from a very young age to never lick a battery because it has acid in it. Well, here's a fun fact for you. Battery acid has a pH factor of 1. Coke and Pepsi, pH of 2.5, and Mountain Dew is pH of 3. So it's not the worst. It's not as bad as battery acid. Testosterone changes. There's always been a rumor that Mountain Dew makes young men's genital regions smaller. Well, that's not necessarily true. Okay, it's not necessarily true, and it's just a rumor. The bottle it comes in does affect hormones. Well, I drink my Mountain Dew primarily from the can whenever I'm able to do that. Cans are much better. They get colder, stay colder longer, so... And no BPA, whatever that is, preservative things. The results show that this toxin significantly increases the chance of infertility, reproductive cancers, altering pancreas beta cells, cardiovascular disease, and thyroid dysfunction. Okay, so definitely drink Mountain Dew from the can, not from the bottle. That's what I'm coming away with that. All right. Well, you know, this guy obviously is very biased. Enough said. We don't need to talk about Mountain Dew anymore. I need a drink. Hold on. But it's not addicting at all. Boy, it sure does taste good. But anyways, one of the things that I wanted to add to the show, all of you know that I am the co-host for the number one military talk show in the country, Frontlines of Freedom. We're on 137 stations nationwide, and you can listen to us on frontlinesoffreedom.com. I asked Colonel Denny Gillum, the main host, to go ahead and create a military minute for the Home Defense Show, because I know a lot of you are military veterans. Certainly, most of my audience respects military vets. And so I wanted the Colonel to go ahead and pick out a topic every week that he can talk about that's related to the military. So I'll go ahead and I will play the military minute right now, and then when we come back, I've got more good stuff for you. Go ahead and crack open a Mountain Dew while I'm gone.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, a nationally syndicated military talk radio show. The Farmer Veteran Coalition, website farmvetco.org, helps vets learn the farming business. The largest chapter is the Michigan chapter, who hosted the annual convention this past year. Their mission is mobilizing veterans to feed America. There's lots of healing that can take place when herding vets get involved with the aspects of farming. And, herding or not, farming is a field which our nation needs more good workers, so there's lots of job satisfaction. The Farmer Veteran Coalition members sell their food under the Homegrown by Heroes label. A recent soil health workshop for military veterans, active duty personnel, and their families is one example of many services and resources available through the Farmer Veteran Coalition of Michigan. One of their goals is to help agricultural employers know how to actively employ and welcome military veterans and professionals. Angela Solomon, a former Army MP, purchased a squeeze chute with a 2016 Farmer Veteran Fellowship. Solomon and her husband Steve Funk, a Navy veteran, own S&F Crossroads Ranch in Hastings, Michigan, where they raise belted Galloways and produce beef, chicken, meat, and eggs, honey, canned goods, and hay. Thank you for joining me for A Minute with the Colonel.
Okay, Colonel Gillum, thank you very much. We appreciate that military minute from Frontlines of Freedom Radio. Okay, I promised you way back in segment one that I was going to tell you what I thought about this latest Kentucky school shooting. So, here's what I think. Well, folks, another week and another mass shooter, this time at a school in Kentucky. There are two more dead and another 18 wounded. I won't go into the details of how many rounds he fired, what kind of gun he used, what was his motive, or any of that. I really don't think any of that matters. Of course, the anti-gun far left is crying out for more strict gun laws, but I don't think that'll help either. So what will help? I don't know for sure, but this might be a clue. Let's go back in time to 1955. How many school shootings do you think we had that year? If you answered zero, you are correct. School shootings are a fairly recent phenomenon, the first really publicized one being in 1999 at Columbine High School. I won't mention the killers' names. They don't deserve the notoriety. All they really deserve is to burn in hell forever, and that just might be happening as we speak. Film at 11. Those of us who are older, I'm 60 now, remember a time before school shootings. They just didn't happen. Sure, we had our problems, but for the most part, children were civil to each other, and if we had a disagreement, we either talked it out or settled it on the playground without weapons and carnage. Bullying was taken care of by the teachers or maybe even the students themselves. One thing that always bothers me after these school shootings is the public clamor for answers. And what is the question most asked? Everyone wants to know why. They want to understand the motive and the psyche of the killer. Sure, if we knew, we might be able to deter some future shooting, but then again, maybe not. Because it's not enough to know why people turn into mass murderers, because along with that knowledge, you also have to be willing to act on it, to make some changes, to do the hard things that people don't like. For example, what is different today from 1955? What do we have en masse today that we didn't have in the 50s? Well, we have a lot of screen violence now. Not just television, but iPhones, video games, Facebook, you name it. We teach our kids to kill online, and then we encourage them to do more of it so that us adults can have more free time while the electronic devices babysit our kids. Another important question is the opposite of the one above. What did we have en masse in 1955 that we don't have today? The answer is a virtuous and moral society. People today are more selfish than ever before. They are less caring and giving. If you ask many people today about right and wrong, they don't even want to talk about it. There is no right. There is no wrong. There's only what makes you feel good and only what works for you as an individual. I can remember when I was a kid back in 1965 or so. Every week, we'd go to the library and check out a big box of books. We'd read stories en masse like the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew Mysteries, and the Happy Hollisters. I went to Boy Scouts every week where we pledged allegiance to the flag and prayed to God. That's right. Now I'm saying the G word. I know we're not supposed to use his name in public discourse anymore, but I tell you folks, flat out, that the world was a better place to live in when all of us believed in and answered to God Almighty. God was the boss because he made us from the dirt of the earth, and God made the rules for us to live by, and we followed them. When we didn't follow them, we got in trouble and learned our lesson. And let's be honest here, folks. The rules God gave us came from a book called the Bible. And all those rules were good for us because they kept us from hurting ourselves and each other. Silly things like don't lie to each other. Don't kill each other. Don't envy or covet or slander. Don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. Don't steal your neighbor's car. Folks, this is not rocket science. Humans are fallible, and we have a natural inclination to do selfish things. Sure, we have a choice and we are capable of doing good. That happens all the time. But so does evil. I think this is the bottom line. When people grow up thinking that the world owes them happiness, but then they end up sad and depressed, well, they get confused. And then when no one can answer their questions, they get really angry. And they want to make someone pay for it. They lose hope and fall into despair and anger and rage. And that's why people shoot other people. There are no boundaries. There are no limits. There is no right, there is no wrong. It's kind of like that scene in Groundhog Day where Bill Murray says, "Let me ask you guys a question. What if there were no tomorrow?" The drunk man in the car beside him replied, "No tomorrow? That would mean there'd be no consequences. There would be no hangovers. We could do whatever we wanted." And from that premise of no tomorrow, the drunk would be right. If tomorrow doesn't exist, then we should just live for today. Isn't that what the hippie culture espoused in the 60s? If it feels good, do it. But there are two problems with that. First, if everyone does whatever they want, then there are no laws to keep bad people from hurting good people. Second, there is a tomorrow. It's called eternity, and your spirit will definitely outlive your body. When society believes there is no tomorrow, then its people live with wild abandon and have little respect for human life. After all, if you only have one life to live and then darkness, then why not go for all the personal pleasure you can get? And if life disappoints you, there's no higher power, no accountability, no one to correct or punish you, so just go out and shoot a dozen people for your own personal revenge. So, you ask me again, what's the answer? I'm going to tell you, but most people won't like it. Here it is. Are you ready? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That comes from the Holy Bible, the Word of God. When people live like there's no tomorrow, then tomorrow can become a very dark and angry place. And that's my comment. Well, folks, I have outstayed my welcome. I ran late today. I apologize for that. You know, preachers will do that from time to time. Not that I'm a preacher, but I did preach a little bit today. Hope that doesn't scare you away from next week. Next week on the show, what do we got? I think I want to talk about pandemic, flu virus. I mean, there's all these people dying all over the country because of this flu epidemic that's going on. I mean, it happens every year, but this year seems to be different. So I'm going to try and get a medical doctor on to go ahead and talk about that, what you can do to protect your family against, well, the flu, because it's really big right now. Go on out now. On February 16th, we've got the Berry County Sheriff's Office is having a church safety summit. Check that out. You can go to tvcweb.com to check that out, or just do a search on Berry County Sheriff's Office and pull up their website. All the info will be right there. Also, go to mwtac.com, Michael Whiskey Tango Alpha Charlie.com, and check out the new active shooter classes, Encountering the Mass Shooter Threat. I'm signing up people for that right now, and that's going really well. And of course, go to Amazon.com, do a search on Skip Coryell, Civilian Combat, and get my wonderful book on personal defense. Get ready for Groundhog's Day. It is coming, and it's going to be fun, and it is the beginning of the death of winter. And that makes me so very happy. Oh, gosh, let me drink some Mountain Dew. Oh, how can that be bad for you? Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coryell. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!